I'd just like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. I always talk about therapy with you guys, and therapy has helped me tremendously in my own life. But when you're going through anxiety, it can be very intimidating to go and see somebody face to face. Not to mention the fact that therapy can be quite pricey. So BetterHelp offers a team of online qualified therapists at a much more affordable price than traditional therapy. During the worst of my anxiety, I was actually not going nearly as often as I would have liked to just because I could not afford it. BetterHelp really takes into account your personal experience and what you're going through and what you're looking for. So you actually complete a survey first that helps to personalize your experience and the therapist that they match you up with. If you don't get along with the therapist or it's just not a good match, then it's easy to just switch to another one. If you'd like to get started and you'd like to go and complete the survey, go to betterhelp.com/tamarin and I'll also include the link in the caption for you. BetterHelp offers video, phone, and text chat, and you can decide on whichever one feels most comfortable for you. When you use my link, you will also save 10% on your first month.
Hello, it's me. firstly, hello, how are you? And obviously, you can't answer me back as I'm asking that, so I guess just take a moment to really check in with yourself. Like, how do you feel right now in this moment? Are you tensing up your shoulders? Are you tensing up your jaw? Is your neck tight? Maybe you need to do a few neck circles, or just kind of tilt your neck from side to side and then front to back. Just check in with yourself, not just how you're doing mentally and emotionally, but physically, because often we're tensing up our entire bodies and it ends up causing us a lot of pain and we don't even realize that we're doing it. I think I said tilt your neck from side to side. I meant tilt your head, but you know, sometimes I'm not going to realize what I'm saying, and hopefully you'll understand what I mean. So I have my little heater on because it gets cold in here, and I'm not sure if the mic is going to pick it up, so I'm actually going to put it off in a second because it's pretty warm in here. And I realized that was completely random and and not something that you needed to hear, but it really is getting cooler. We had kind of like a heat wave randomly earlier this week. Yesterday was still pretty warm. Today I went for a walk. I actually went to the coffee shop and got a drink, and I was okay in a t-shirt, but at least I wasn't hot. Like the other day I went out and I looked out my window and I saw people in jackets and sweaters, and I assumed that, okay, well, it's cold outside, so I went out there prepared, and it was so freaking warm. It felt humid, actually, and I don't know about you, but humidity or just heat in general is it's an instant trigger for me. Like, even now, like, it always spikes my anxiety levels. So it is Friday evening. It's 6:17 p.m. to be exact. I hope I haven't said that already, but oh well. But I am actually in bed. I found, like, the last episode I also recorded in my bed, because why not? It's cozy. I'm comfortable. Usually I sit by my window because I have a really nice view from my bed too. So here I am. The sun is already starting to set, and I mean, in summer it stays light until like 9:30 at night, almost 10 p.m. actually, and it's already now almost 6:30. It's starting to get dark. That's the one part of winter that I struggle with a little bit. We're not even in winter yet. But anyway, I really do enjoy the cooler weather. I love how pretty the trees look right now. I'm constantly just seeing leaves falling, because soon there's going to be just bare branches everywhere. But I really do love this time of year. It's very pretty, and It's just cozy, and I'm into cozy, and I'm into spooky wee in October. Like, where the heck has this year gone? I saw a meme. It said, I wonder if I can somehow include it in this caption. Probably not, but it said January dissociation September. So we just basically jumped. And it's true because I feel like we start the year and we're all fresh and like ready for a new year. Although, to be honest, I mean, the year starts in the dead of winter, so I never feel ready for a new year. And then just, it's like you blink and you know it's already October and it's we almost at the end of the year. So this is my birthday month. My birthday's just never been something that I love to just make a fuss of. Am I the only one that's like that? And I don't think I am. I'm sure I've heard a lot of people say that. Birthday anxiety or the birthday blues. On the 19th of October, I'm going to be 35. It's so strange to me, honestly. Like 35. In 5 years, I'm 40. Like, when the F did that happen? But you know what? Like, I always tell you guys, I'm grateful to be healthy. I'm grateful to be here. I had a rough go at it in my 20s and in my teens, as did many other people. And I know many of you are going through things right now. So I think every birthday that rolls around where we're healthy and we're just here, you know, we're still here and we're happy and or we're doing our best, right? We're doing our best. I think that definitely counts for something. So if you haven't been able to tell, this episode is going to be just random. I wanted to do a health anxiety episode, so I'm going to do that with this episode. But I also thought, like, why don't I just sit down and chat to you guys and just see what happens and just kind of, you know, like if you're chatting with a friend, like you don't go in there with a specific plan and you're like, we're gonna stay on this one topic. It's gonna move around and you're gonna shift around and go back and forth. So of course I can't go back and forth with you guys. It's not like I'm having a conversation with somebody next to me right now. So I kind of have to be delusional about it and go back and forth with myself, but I'm pretty damn good at that. I promise you I'm completely sober, just in case you're wondering. My mood today is decent, so I wanted to sit down and talk to you. Yesterday's mood was a different story. If you listen to my episodes, you know the whole saga. Like, I deal with really up and down moods, and it's a lot better now than it was years ago, but it's still a challenge for me at times. So when I'm having a good day, I like to sit down and have a chat with you guys and just do things that make me happy. And honestly, sitting here and chatting to you guys makes me very happy. So here we are. So usually when I record at my desk by my window, I have my mic sitting down, but when I'm in bed, I like to just hold it because it's just easier. So I keep checking and making sure that I'm not pressing any of the wrong buttons because one time I sat down and recorded an hour-long episode. I don't remember what the topic was. In one of these episodes, I think I do mention in the beginning that I had re-recorded it because I had sat down one day, I'd recorded a whole episode. I felt so good about it too. Like, it just flowed. It was one of those episodes where everything just flowed. I really felt happy about putting it out there. And then I realized that my mic had been on mute. So I had been talking to myself, actually to myself, for an hour. So now that I'm holding my mic, I keep double checking that I'm not like accidentally pressing mute because that will not be a good thing to do. I made myself some peppermint tea. That's been my favorite lately. I've just been like on a peppermint tea kick. I usually have incense burning, but I have yet to stock up. Like, I need to go There's a store at the mall that has my favorite incense. I do not enjoy going to the mall. Maybe I did at one point, but I do not enjoy it anymore. So I have not been there for a while, but sometimes I drag myself there just so that I can go get my incense. And the store that I go to, they just have really cool stuff there, and I always get my t-shirts there. You guys always ask me like where my t-shirts are from, and I always get my t-shirts from this place. And yeah, so I need to go stock up because the few sticks of incense that I have, they just create like a crazy amount of smoke. And on my last episode, I was choking. So I just thought I'd leave the incense today, make some tea. It's so weird because I'm so used, like, if you know me, I need noise. Like, I always need to have some kind of noise. It's very calming for me. Kind of like, the white, like a white noise effect kind of thing. So I have a fan in my room, and I always have my fan on, or my little heater, and the noise is very calming. Like, I cannot fall asleep without the noise. So I've turned my heater off now because I'm just scared that the mic is gonna pick it up. You may have heard it right at the beginning of the episode, I'm not sure, but it's so strange for me just sitting in silence. I'm just so used to noise. And that's actually a question that I would ask you guys right now. Like, are there, like, if you're listening to this, do you find that you need to have noise, like, to kind of, 'cause I feel like I have a very busy and active mind. I can be very restless, and my mind can kind of jump from one thing to the next a lot. And when I have, the sound of the fan or like some white noise or something, it's very calming for me. So I'm just curious, like, am I the only one that's like that? I'm definitely not, but I wonder how many of you guys listening to this relate to that. So let's see how we can start, actually getting into this episode. Before I do that, I feel like I have so many things that I want to talk about. So I saw this quote today that just kind of, like, I don't know, it hit hard. So I Tamarin, take a breath. Sometimes I get so excited and I'm like stumbling over my words. So I have signed up for Tim Ferriss's newsletter for years now, and sometimes I don't even really read the whole thing. Like, the main reason that I have subscribed to this is I love the quote that he shares every week. He sends it out every Friday, and I mean, I do read it, and but sometimes I skim it and I just kind of skip down to the quote because he usually shares really good ones. And today's one, I just really, really liked it. I'm not even gonna attempt to announce the name of the guy. I'm definitely not gonna do that, but I will include it in the caption. But the quote is, "Home is not where you were born. Home is where all your attempts to escape cease." I don't know. I'm not gonna delve into that now, but I just really like that, and I just really wanted to share it. So there we are. So if you didn't know, we have a community chat going on Discord, which is basically an app where you're able to communicate and have a chat with each other in real time. And you guys have been asking me for this for the longest time, and I finally set it up. A lot of you guys who are around my age are confused, and I know it's taken you just as long as it's taken me, and I'm still learning how to just navigate our way around. So I have different rooms on there, right? I have like the health anxiety chat and the panic attack chat, and we have one for movies because I want to do like a community like movie night where we can pick a movie together. Nothing triggering, like, that's something I want to be sure of. Obviously, if we all have health anxiety, we don't want to be triggered, but The other day, I was having a chat in the health anxiety room. I just woke up and was just in bed and chatting to you guys in the health anxiety chat room. And then I exited it to go and reply to somebody in the panic attack room. And suddenly, like, I couldn't find the health anxiety chat. Like, it was just gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, Tamara, like, you are supposed to be running this and you don't even know what you're doing. But it's fun, and like, you guys have helped me and explained things to me, and you guys know so much better than me. But I'm just glad that we finally set it up. Seeing you, I have not been in there every day. I need to be better at really being more present, and I'm doing my best, but I see you guys chatting there, like, you don't even need me there all the time, and it makes me happy that we have this space, and that, like, I see how you guys talk to each other, and I see how you support each other, and share what you're going through, and share any tips you have, and it just makes me really, really happy. So I'm glad that we finally have this space. So one thing that I see a lot of, and I've really been trying to pay attention to the symptoms that you guys are dealing with in the health anxiety chat that we have. And the one thing that I've been seeing come up, or the few things that I've been seeing come up a lot over the past few days, over the past week, are heart and chest symptoms and throat symptoms. So I wanted to, like I told you guys, this episode is it's gonna be, I mean, I'm telling you guys what it's gonna be as I'm sitting here, and I don't even know myself, but it's going to be all over the place, in the best way though. Like, hopefully we can, hopefully it's all over, but we can kind of put it together and, like, what I mean. But I thought that I wanted to have a health anxiety chat with you guys. In my latest book, like, all I talk about is health anxiety in there, and there's a section that I have in there where I explain, or I share some of, like, my tips that help me when I'm triggered, or when I'm constantly obsessing over a symptom, or when I'm struggling with a symptom and then I'm seeing it everywhere, and my brain is telling me that it's a sign. So I thought maybe I'll, like, pull up my book, and talk through some of that with you guys in this episode. We'll see how it goes. But before I do that, I thought I would just kind of address some of the stuff that I've been seeing in Discord, because I know that it's not just you guys who are on there. This is a very common, like, these are common symptoms that I know so many of you guys struggle with, the heart and chest and throat symptoms. And it makes sense too if you have all of them at once, because everything is connected. And for example, if you're having tummy issues and a lot of mucus and acid reflux, that refluxes up into the chest, into the throat area, and then it causes symptoms there. And I know it's confusing, because it's confusing to try to wrap your head around the fact that anxiety can cause such physical symptoms. But at this point where I am now, after so many damn years of having dealt with it myself, I can tell you that anxiety is so incredibly physical. It absolutely causes physical symptoms that may not make sense, but the fact is that it does. I realize that I say so much, and like, oh, especially on my Instagram stories, oh, it's so annoying. I annoy myself. And it's funny because, and this is just me going off track again, by the way, but it's all good. You guys are used to me by now. And if you're new here, hi. This is what happens in every episode. So I actually had a guy email me. He helps people with their podcasts, because I obviously don't edit out all my ums and ahs and ums and whatever else. And he said that he could help. He was offering his help, which is very nice and I appreciate it. He was offering his help to help me refine the episodes and take out all my ums and likes. And I'm trying so hard to be aware of it. At the same time, I feel like when I'm listening to someone talk, I'd rather hear them say their ums or stumble over their words versus it be absolutely perfectly coherent, because I that's just not human. And I'm definitely very human. So hopefully it's gotten better. I feel like the first few episodes that I did were pretty bad with that, but I try to be more aware now. So anyway, let's get back on track. I feel like that's an advertisement talking about my ums and likes. Okay, let's get back on track. So one of the biggest things that I see people really in distress over, really, because it's horrible to deal with this, is globus sensation, which is a sensation of, it feels like there is a lump in your throat. Like, it actually genuinely feels like there's something stuck in your throat. You may try to clear your throat and cough and be feeling around and like looking in your throat, and just because it feels like there is something in your throat, like 100%. So it's really hard when someone is telling you, okay, so that's due to stress and anxiety. So it's not really there. There's nothing there. But this sensation feels like there absolutely is something there. This is one of those symptoms that just doesn't make sense. You can go to the doctor and they're not going to really explain to you why it happens. It's something that is known to be linked to anxiety and stress. Not even all doctors are familiar with it, so I feel like that's the worst. When you're struggling with the symptom, you go to the doctor and the doctor looks at you like, "What are you talking about?" And then they kind of just prescribe you anti-anxiety meds because, you're clearly being dramatic. Obviously not, but you know what I mean. Some doctors just really don't understand. So with a globus sensation, there's not a lot of research into it and it's not very well understood, but I can tell you that if you are extremely stressed and anxious and you're dealing with that feeling of something stuck in your throat, it is a very, very common anxiety symptom. There are definitely things that can contribute to this feeling. I actually created a blog, created, listen to me, I created, I wrote a blog post the other day sharing, and I'll share that link in here as well, where I go into detail about all the things that can contribute to this feeling. One of the number one, number one of the top things, I think, is from tensing up our muscles. So everything is connected. This is something that I kind of want you to just drill into your brain. Everything is connected. You can be experiencing an issue in one area that is due to something in a completely different area. So if you're tensing up your shoulders and your shoulder muscles are really tight and they kind of hunched up around your ears all day, that's going to extend into your neck and it's going to cause neck pain. It's going to cause neck tension. It's going to cause a feeling like there's a band around your throat, and then that's obviously going to contribute to that feeling like there's something literally in your throat. Tensing up your jaw as well can contribute. So my number one tip is always to really be very aware of where you're holding tension in your body, because releasing tension in one area of your body can end up helping a completely different area. So by releasing your shoulder muscles and doing gentle stretches that can help with your back and your shoulders and your jaw, that can then end up helping your neck. And another thing is, a lot of tension in the shoulders and neck can then extend into the head, and then you can experience that head pressure, which I know is another really big symptom and a really freaking scary one. That's one that I really do not like. It's just that it's such an uncomfortable feeling. Sometimes you can have pain with it, which just makes everything worse. But it's that feeling like your head is going to explode. Like, it feels like somebody, it feels like there is like a vice around your head squeezing it. And it just, I used to have this symptom every single day. When I was really going through anxiety and dealing with multiple panic attacks a day, constant 24/7 symptoms, this was one symptom that stayed with me every single day. And it was one that I did not appreciate at all. So, yes, you can really try to be consciously aware of where you're holding tension. Because obviously, when we have that conscious awareness, we're able to release it. If we don't even realize that our shoulders are up by our ears, we're not going to relax them. So just even as you're listening to this, pay attention to where you're holding tension in your body and try to release it, like right now, just as you're listening to me. I hope that you do that every time you listen. I hope that you relax your body. I hope that you take deep breaths, and I will really try to start every episode just reminding you to breathe throughout the episode. Like really focus on your breath, because maybe this could be the first time all day, or if you're listening to this first thing in the morning, this could be the first time in days that you've actually paid attention to your breathing. So, you know, I know it can be uncomfortable when you deal with health anxiety to pay attention to your body at all, but really try to just let this be a time where you can just relax your muscles and just breathe and really put a conscious awareness there as much as you can. An area where I tend to hold a lot of tension is actually in my belly. Really in the area like where you're, if you're familiar with the chakras, like in your solar, in my solar plexus, right? So just like just above my belly button, under my boobs. I was just trying to think how to say that. But we all have boobs, so whatever, but like literally like just under my boobs in that area, I tend to clench up there a lot. And going back to the chest sensations and the throat sensations, like if you're tensing up the muscles there all the time in your belly and then you're eating in that state as well, that's going to affect your digestion. It's going to cause bloating, it's going to cause pain, and then that's going to often extend it to chest pain, and then that can even go up into your throat. Everything, again, I will keep reminding you guys, everything is connected, okay? So sometimes when we're dealing with something that may not make any sense to us, we just kind of have to work backwards and see, okay, maybe it's coming from my tight stomach muscles every day. And as I'm talking to you guys about this, I'm realizing that I'm holding tension there. I've gotten really good at releasing tension in other parts of my body, but this is an area of my body where I really do tend to hold up a lot of tension. And if you really want to get into the chakras and all of that, so your solar plexus is where that has to do with confidence and insecurities and all of that. So I'm not going to go into that now. You guys let me know if you want me to do an episode on that, because I am quite familiar with all of this. But sometimes when we're holding tension in certain chakras, it could be because there's certain things in our life that we're not addressing. There's certain insecurities that we have that we're not working through, confidence issues that we're having. So that could be something to think about as well. But again, if this, I know not a lot of people are interested in this kind of thing, but then I also know that a lot of you guys are. So if you are interested, let me know, and I will absolutely do an episode on the chakras. Again, like, see, now I'm saying I'm not going to talk about it, but here I am. Like again, like with the throat, with those, that feeling of blockage, it could be that you're not speaking up for yourself in an area of your life. It could be that you could feel like you're not being heard. There's many different things, and I could go very deep into this right now, but I'm not going to, because that's not what this episode was going to be about. But there are many different things that can contribute to symptoms or tension that you may be experiencing. Another big one with globus sensation in particular, and that feeling of like something in your throat or it feels like you're kind of choking, is when you have a lot of mucus going on. For me, I don't know if you can notice it today, but I'm a little bit congested today. I had pizza last night. Yep, I had pizza with real cheese. I don't really eat dairy. for a few different reasons, but I am very sensitive to it usually. It immediately clogs me up, and then it causes me a lot of mucus for me. So when I have a lot of mucus going on, you can get that feeling, especially when you're going to bed at night and you're laying down. You can just feel it dripping. And I've had postnasal drip my whole life as well. So it's really a horrible feeling. And if you suffer with global sensation, it will make it worse. Or it could be the thing that's actually causing that feeling in the first place. So stress hormones on their own increase inflammation in your body. And the minute you have inflammation, your body will produce more mucus. There's some different reasons for this. One of them is that the mucus is there to kind of help to expel toxins from your body. And when mucus is produced, it makes it easier. Like toxins stick to the mucus and then you can bring it out. I'm not really explaining this very well, but I don't want to go into detail about that here. But stress hormones on their own can cause mucus buildup. So if you're very anxious or dealing with a lot of stress, you may notice that you have a lot of mucus, a lot of flu-type symptoms. And then if you're not eating right and you're constantly eating foods that, here I am saying this and I just had pizza last night, but I'm talking about consistently, like if you're regularly like eating foods that are only adding to inflammation, then it's only going to make that feeling worse and it's only going to increase mucus buildup. Like for example, I had pizza last night and I definitely do have some congestion today. But if I start having pizza every single day, it's going to get worse and worse. And it's not fun when you have a lot of mucus. Another thing that I was talking to somebody about in Discord was somebody had told me that she has a lot of sinus pain, especially on the one side, like in your face. You can kind of feel it in your cheekbone, around your eyes, and especially like in your temples and kind of the one side of your head. This is very common when you have congestion, is your sinuses get clogged and then you get that pain. And that pain is not fun at all. And it can stick around for a long time as well, which just, it sucks. It sucks. So just try to keep in mind that if you have a lot of mucus, whether it's just due to stress or whether it's from the foods that you're eating or maybe a combination, a lot of mucus can cause many different things, not just that feeling in your throat. It can cause congestion, it can cause headaches, it can cause fatigue, it can cause you can feel really nauseous and sick to your stomach because if you're swallowing it, right? Tummy issues as a result as well. So if you have one thing going on, it can lead to multiple things. So if you have a lot of mucus, it will make sense why you have all these other things as well. So for mucus buildup, again, like I'm going to share that article in the caption because I go into a lot more detail of things that you can do. But one thing I can tell you is stay hydrated. Like make sure that you're drinking a lot of water to help thin it out, especially warm water or herbal teas. I was somebody who, if you had told me to drink herbal tea, I would have been like, no, thank you. I used to drink so much freaking coffee every day. Coffee is another contributing one, right? Too much caffeine can increase inflammation too. So I would drink a lot of coffee, like a lot, like it got me through my day. I did not drink herbal teas. I went through a phase where I was dealing with really bad acne, and that's been up and down for me, honestly. Like during the pandemic when we had to wear masks everywhere, my skin flared up so badly. Like I had like teenage skin again. But now I forgot what I was even saying. Oh wait, I think I have it. I went through a phase with my skin just during the time when I was drinking all the coffee and everything. I really wasn't paying attention to what I was eating or drinking. I was drinking a lot of alcohol as well. And I was going through a period of really bad skin, not realizing that all these things that I was eating and drinking were clearly contributing. But I was just kind of looking for a quick fix, and I was Googling, like, what can I do? Like, help. I need freaking help. My acne was awful. So I came across an article where they were talking about nettle tea, nettle leaf tea. And I wasn't drinking any herbal tea at this time. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try drink it. You have to drink like multiple cups a day. Apparently, it's really good for cleansing your body, which wasn't really helpful. It was just, it was counteractive because counteractive, counterintuitive. I think that's it. Because I was, drinking and eating all this crap, and then I was trying to fix it with the nettle tea. But you can't just be throwing in one thing and then expect to see a major difference. So anyway, I was drinking multiple cups of this damn tea a day, and I think this was one of like the first herbal teas that I actually like gave a chance. And it is, I'm sorry if you love nettle tea, like I'm actually sorry because it's not my favorite, and that's all right. We like different things, right? But nettle tea is just ew for me. Like, ugh. I couldn't. And I think I thought, okay, well, that was my introduction to herbal tea or herbal. Like people here in Canada and the States say herbal, not herbal. Herbal tea. I say herbal. I'm South African. Well, I've been here long enough now, but there's certain words that you're never gonna get me to change. So herbal tea. That was my like introduction to it, and I was like, ew, like no. And it's funny how we can, one bad experience can make us be like, nope, no thanks. It's not happening. My stomach just growled. I'm not sure if the mic picked that up. I'm not even hungry. Anyway, so that's what I was trying. That was like my introduction to herbal tea, and it wasn't a good first impression at all. But as the years have gone on and I've tried different ones, I have some of my favorites. And peppermint at the moment is one that I really enjoy. And peppermint, spearmint is really good as well for any throat issues. If you've been with me for a while, you're bored of hearing this, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. I like to add just a little bit of apple cider vinegar to spearmint tea. It's actually not that bad, guys. Like, it is not that bad. And what if you really don't like apple cider vinegar, you can mask the taste with a little bit of honey. Like Manuka honey is really good. It's full of good shit. And you could do a squeeze of lime or lemon. That's what I used to do when I started drinking apple cider vinegar, just in plain warm water, is I would add a squeeze of lemon or lime because it completely masks the taste if you just think it's disgusting. But it's really good for those throat sensations, and it's also very good for acid reflux as well. So that's something that you could consider trying. Spearmint tea is good. Peppermint tea is good. I enjoy chamomile tea. How do people say that here? Chamomile, I feel like. Anyway, I say chamomile. Rooibos tea I really like, which is a South African tea. I've had that my whole life. What else? Ginger. Ginger is very stimulating, so it's not for everyone. It's very warming, so I know not everybody enjoys it, but I do find that it's great for settling my stomach. I remember one day I took a zinc supplement, and this is not to scare anybody who's thinking of taking zinc. It's very good for immunity. It's actually very good for your skin as well, and it has obviously other benefits too that I won't get into here, but I wanted to take it for, I think I had just been sick or been run down. I'd been feeling run down, and I wanted to add in like a separate zinc supplement. And I think it was 25 mcg. I had taken 50 before. So one thing with zinc is you're always supposed to take it with food because it can make you nauseous, and like that freaks me out because if I'm nauseous, like I can't handle it. I really struggle. So I took 25 mcg. I think that's right. Sorry, I clearly don't know what I'm saying. I meant milligrams. It was 25 milligrams. So I thought that would be all right, and I made sure to take it like right after breakfast and stuff. This was a few months ago, and it made me so freaking nauseous. I just lay on my floor in my room And it's so horrible when you deal with anxiety and health anxiety in particular, because it's like, I know that that is the side effect of zinc, and I had just taken zinc, so it makes sense that I feel like throwing up because I've just taken something that can cause these symptoms. But then your brain will still say, like, what if it's something else? It's so illogical. Like, this is the thing with health anxiety. It is illogical. It's not logical. Even if we can, even if the logical part of our brain can see that it's illogical and we have that awareness, I think once fear comes in, it just kind of overrides everything and we just can't think clearly. So I was sick for like I felt awful for maybe an hour. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but I remember feeling like super crappy for probably about an hour. And I mean, you guys know, I know, like, if you're listening to this, there's so many of you guys that feeling nauseous is like an instant trigger. So I try to be careful with zinc now, and if it's something that you are considering taking, always do make sure that you take it with a meal, and start at a smaller dose, and then kind of build your way up and see from there. Could somebody please let me know why we were talking about zinc? Because I feel like we were talking about teas, and then suddenly I went on a whole thing about zinc. So back to the teas. Drinking lots of warm tea is very good for thinning out mucus, okay? What's important is that you're not going to, you can't. And that's my phone, so just a second. Wow, okay, so all these distractions, and I'm getting sidetracked all the time as well. I wonder if that even picked up, but I always have my phone. Here's the thing for you guys, like, who has their phone on loud? Because I don't. Like, back in the day, it was really, well, back in my day, it was like a cool thing to have cool ringtones and stuff, and we would download ringtones and whatever. And now, like, it isn't, I feel like it's not cool for your phone to be on loud. Like, my phone is never on loud, it's always on vibrate. Anyway, like, again, sorry, I got totally sidetracked. I literally never get calls, but anyway. Okay, so we're talking about teas, right? So, yes, drinking teas can really help to thin out mucus. I think I started going off about the zinc because I was talking about how ginger can help with nausea, and then I actually figured that it's. This is a good thing for me to bring up because feeling nauseous is a really, really big trigger if you deal with health anxiety. So I think I just wanted to talk about it. If that's a trigger for you, or if you deal with emetophobia, I really am sorry because a person can't really understand unless they have that fear. I wouldn't say that I have severe emetophobia, but I do feel anxiety when I'm nauseous and I know that I could throw up. It's not, I mean, it's pretty bad to be fair, but I wouldn't say it's severe emetophobia. You know, if you suffer with severe emetophobia, you like anything can trigger you, and if you're triggered, it's just not a good time for you. So I really am sorry. I know certain just hearing a certain word can like cause can cause a trigger spiral. So yeah, like I think I just wanted to say that feeling nauseous and feeling like you could throw up is definitely a big trigger. And again, like drinking the herbal teas can actually really help if you deal with tummy issues. And then another thing that I was saying was, so sometimes I will recommend something. Like, for example, magnesium is something that I recommend all the time. Not just any magnesium, it's the magnesium glycinate form in particular. I think I talk about it on every podcast episode, let's just be honest. But Magnesium is extremely helpful for anxiety and for stress and reducing inflammation, helping with tight muscles, insomnia. I could go on and on and on. Those muscle twitches, I know that's a big fear for a lot of people as well. But sometimes I'll get somebody messaging me and saying that the one change that they've made in their life is magnesium and they're not seeing results. So one thing that I always do like to stress is that, okay, for example, if you're eating takeout every single day and you're eating, which is, you're eating processed foods, inflammatory foods, trigger foods, trigger meaning like it causes inflammation in your body and can therefore contribute to in more intense symptoms in terms of anxiety. And then you add in one thing that you think could help with your anxiety, you're not likely going to see a difference. It's many different things that you do that work together. You can't take magnesium if you're eating really crappy every day and expect the magnesium to just, kind of fix your life kind of thing. On saying this though, this is not to say you have to be eating perfectly all the time. You're human. I had pizza last night. Again, I'll bring that up, but I do believe everything in moderation, so I really try to be as healthy as I can at least 80% of the time. And then along with that, I will take my supplements, I will take my adaptogens, I'll take magnesium, I'll do yoga, I'll do all those little things, I'll really do my deep breathing every day and all the things that work, together synergistically to really help you with stress, with helping to manage stress in your body. So that's just something to keep in mind. You don't have to make all of the changes at once, but you can't expect to, just kind of add in one supplement if you're not doing anything else and then expect it to just work magic. It works alongside other things too. Tummy issues and chest and heart symptoms are huge as well. Like I told you guys, really pay attention to relaxing your stomach muscles. Take a few deep breaths before you eat anything. When you eat your food, make sure to really chew your food properly. Try and avoid eating in a really stressed out state, like any heavy meals in a stressed out state, or take a few extra long deep breaths before you eat if you're feeling really stressed before a meal. Don't drink very cold drinks with your meals either, as this can affect your digestion. You could try and opt for some warm tea or warm water at least 30 minutes before a meal. If you add a little bit of lemon or lime into that, that can help to kind of stimulate digestion so your food is better able to digest and you'll have less tummy issues. I have a separate episode if you deal with a lot of heart and chest symptoms, so I'm not going to go into that here, but that I believe is episode 7. Just one tip here that can be really helpful is to really focus on deep breathing. In and out through your nose only can help, or straw breathing if you're congested and find it hard to breathe through your nose or one nostril. You could try straw breathing, which is really helpful. I talk about that in my A to Z and in my latest book, but it says if you're breathing in and out through a straw, you can literally use a straw. So it's like that pursed lip effect. You could breathe in through your nose and then breathe out your mouth as if you're blowing through a straw, or you could breathe in as if you're breathing through a straw and then breathe out through your nose. Or if your nose is completely blocked, you could just do it with your, like, just breathing in and out through your mouth only. But just to really slow it down, use that motion as if you're breathing through a straw by pursing your lips. When you do this method, it really helps to slow down your inhale and your exhale. And when you can really draw out your inhale and your exhale, it's really good for calming your nervous system, especially during panic. Another good tip is, once you've breathed all the way in and you can't breathe in anymore, is to hold the breath for like 3 seconds, just to the count of three, even two, even one. Like, just hold it for at least a second before you breathe out. And if you do this a few times, if you do a few rounds of this, and let me just say, like, when you start actually trying to deep breathe initially, it may feel really weird. This doesn't mean that it's not for you or you can't do it or anything like that. It just means that you've been in a state of shallow breathing for so long that that's what your body is used to. So now when you're trying something different, it's going to feel weird. So you have to kind of continuously do it, and you have to keep practicing until it becomes more of a natural thing versus you kind of making yourself do it. Something that really helped me with this was, that does still now, is yoga. Yoga has really trained me to breathe deeply automatically. If I'm still very anxious or stressed or just having a really bad day, I will notice that my breathing is more shallow, but I have more of an awareness now. But I feel like just and again, like when I started doing yoga, it was hard for me. With the deep breathing, it would feel really weird and I would feel short of breath. So it's something that you have to keep doing it. So the more I did yoga and the more I was kind of forced to breathe deeply, just keep going with it. Like, don't give up. Don't tell yourself, no, deep breathing's not for me, or whatever your brain is trying to tell you. It definitely is for everybody, but it's something that your body may have to get used to. But once it becomes more of an automatic thing, and once your body is just breathing more deeply on its own, you will not believe the positive impacts that it can have. Like, just trust me on this. Deep breathing can literally change your entire life. And I know I'm sounding super dramatic, but I mean, this could, like, sometimes there's just one thing that could make a big difference. And if you were able to start breathing deeply every day, just that, you will 100% see effects from that one thing. I promise. So I did mention that we're going to be kind of jumping around all over the place, so bear with me, but I wanted to just kind of have a health anxiety chat, as well as talk about some symptoms that I know that you guys have been struggling with. So one thing that, again, comes up over and over, and I see this all the time, I get DMs about this too, is how to avoid the, like, obsessive thoughts that come with health anxiety. Like, you know, when you're in a health anxiety spiral and you start to think that everything is a sign, or like you see a video and you think, well, I've been having that symptom, that's a sign. Or you see a video, you don't have any symptoms, and suddenly you start experiencing the symptoms because our brains are that powerful, right? So I have a section where I share some tips to manage everything that goes along with health anxiety in my new book. And I wanted to, just because I get this question so much of how to manage the obsessive thoughts. So I'm going to just read the section directly to you instead of try to ramble my way around it. And hopefully it can kind of help you, and hopefully it makes some sense. So, become aware of your thoughts. It can be a little more challenging to find ways to avoid the obsessive thinking patterns that come with health anxiety, but the very first step is to simply become aware. We will not be able to stop the spiraling thought patterns if we aren't even aware we are doing it and simply falling into every story and worst-case scenario our brain conjures up for us. Trust me, I know how hard it is to not follow that thread when it tugs on us. We just need one thought to start, to start forming, and we follow it all the way down to paranoia town as fear builds and we suddenly can't find our way back home. Once we lose ourselves in these fear-based thinking patterns, we can quickly feel like we are drowning, and getting out of them can feel pretty much impossible. Take this from someone who considers herself an overthinking queen. Trust me when I tell you that my brain likes to tell me stories on a regular basis. It's always amazed me how literally nothing can happen in my physical reality, yet I can go from feeling okay to feeling completely ungrounded, even devastated, from my thoughts alone. I won't even have evidence to back my thoughts up, yet the feelings they conjure up in my body are enough for my brain to believe they must be true. This means I can very quickly fall into a state of despair, even depression, when I allow these thoughts to fester. There's a book I always talk about because it has helped me so tremendously in my own life. When I find myself falling back into old habits and unhelpful thinking patterns, I immediately pick it up and simply open to any page to bring me some much needed relief. It's called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, and the whole point of it is to teach you to live in the present moment, something all of us who suffer with health anxiety or just anxiety in general certainly need. I highly recommend it. So start by simply being aware of the thoughts as they come up and ask yourself, is this helpful? Are thinking these thoughts going to actually help me feel better? Say it out loud for more impact and to really confuse your brain by interrupting its inevitable spiral to what would be Fear Street if you let it continue its journey. Talking out loud when my thoughts are starting to want to take over really helps me. The more we do something, the more automatic it becomes, so interrupt your thoughts all day long if you have to. Of course, you may be at work or in a situation where talking to yourself may make you look and feel a little delusional, in which case you can simply ask yourself in your head, or even record yourself and listen to it when your thoughts come up. I'm not saying that you are suddenly going to stop ruminating, but do something different than you have been doing up until now and interrupt the thoughts as well as ask your brain questions. Our brain will always look for answers to anything we ask it, so ask wisely. Don't ask yes or no questions, as your brain will almost always revert to the negative answer as a way to keep you in your comfort zone. For example, if you ask your brain, will I ever get better? Will I ever be able to go out and enjoy my life? It may revert to no, as you don't believe or feel that healing is possible. As a result, you will not take note of things that come up in your physical reality that may be opportunities as ways to move forward. Still with me? However, if you ask your brain, how can I find ways to work through my health anxiety so I can enjoy my life again? Then suddenly you may start to see things coming up in your life that look like sudden lucky opportunities for healing. Why does this happen? Is this some kind of weird voodoo magic? Nope. It's simply your brain doing what it does best, seeking answers to questions you ask it. Your brain cannot rest until it finds answers. I'm a big believer in manifestation, and as I have learned on TikTok, it's all just physics and quantum science. It's like frequency illusion. Your brain subconsciously seeking out more information on something you are fixated on. This means you may suddenly see that illness or fear you have been worrying about everywhere. You are safe. Your brain actually just thinks it is helping. So to manifest a better, happier life, you simply have to reframe what you are asking or saying to your brain on a daily basis. That's just something to think about. I wanted to just read that to you. And hopefully you got something out of that. Just simply being aware of our thoughts. Because when you have health anxiety, your thoughts are not helpful. Like, when we suffer with health anxiety, our thoughts are always going to tell us the absolute worst case. And it never leads anywhere good from there if we follow the thought patterns. And like, I know you relate if you are here currently listening to this episode. So to start with simply being aware and then, you know, asking yourself different questions for a change, speaking differently to yourself for a change. You know, if you've been dealing with things one way for so long and you feel stuck, in order to get unstuck and to even, like, even slightly unstuck and to even feel like you're taking one step forward, you have to start doing things differently. If you do things the same way, it's going to stay the same, right? I do share more tips in that book, and again, I'll include it in the caption, of things that I do when I am in a spiral, when I am triggered, because I do still get triggered, but honestly, like, having awareness, understanding health anxiety, that's why I'm so happy with this Discord group, like, just being in that health anxiety room and just realizing that we're all feeling, even if we're dealing with different symptoms, the fear that we feel is the same. We're all dealing with the same kind of fear. Just realizing that health anxiety is real, like just really drilling that into your brain. It's real. It's real. Like, health anxiety is an actual thing, right? Because what happens is health anxiety makes us doubt. So again, be aware of that. Anxiety will always make you doubt. And then the minute you latch onto that seed of doubt, that's when things just completely spiral and boom, you're in an anxiety spiral again and you don't know how to get out of it. So really try to have that awareness. If you do fall into it, You're human, it happens, but use your awareness to kind of get back out of it again. This is why it is so important to understand anxiety and to, like, even if you just tell yourself every single day, this is health anxiety. Health anxiety is real. This is health anxiety. Health anxiety is real. Instead of, but what if this isn't health? Like, stop yourself right there. Okay? If you have health anxiety, you will have thoughts like that. So come back to health anxiety is real. Health anxiety causes me to doubt. I have health anxiety. Like, just, you know what I mean. You can make up your own things, but really, I'm telling you, like, awareness is everything. To work through absolutely anything, you have to start with awareness. Something that people have said to me a lot was, until I found your page, I didn't even know that I have health anxiety. I just thought that I was dying. And what a relief it was to learn about health anxiety. And because, you know what, I think most of us know what health anxiety or hypochondria is. We have a basic understanding. But sometimes, especially when it's been played in movies and you see the over-dramatization of somebody, freaking out all day long that they're dying and whatever, and obviously it absolutely does that, but there's so many other little aspects to it. And I think when we see it portrayed one way and then we think, okay, well, that's health anxiety, but I have this and this and this, so this isn't health anxiety. This must be something like a real medical problem. So learning everything about health anxiety, and that's why I'm so happy when I get messages like that, letting me know that you're finally starting to understand health anxiety or GAD, generalized anxiety disorder, because that's another thing. Like, I had that for years. I didn't know what the whole GAD was. I had never heard of that in my life. I thought anxiety is in the moment you're anxious, you experience symptoms. I didn't realize that GAD genuinely causes constant symptoms every single day, even when you're not feeling particularly anxious or going through panic or anything. And that was what I struggled with, is I would be feeling symptoms 24/7. I had health anxiety too, so my health anxiety was latching onto all these symptoms and telling me, it's not normal that you're dizzy all the time. You must have lung problems because you're short of breath. Those twitching muscles are a degenerative disease. That was my fucking nightmare. I obsessed over that for years, for way too long. That pain is something serious. And then what would happen was I would completely fixate on the sensation or the symptom, and it would get worse, because that's what happens. I mean, you can literally sit right now and put all of your attention on one part of your body, and you are probably going to feel something in that part of your body. You're going to feel sensation there. Because that is how our brains are powerful. We don't give our brains enough credit for how powerful they are, but we want to use that power in the right way. We want to use it for good versus, falling into negative thinking patterns and spirals that have us living in fear all the time. I started recording this when the sun was just kind of slowly starting to set. There was still sun coming in. And now it's completely dark. Like, it's really dark. So, what's the time? Yeah, I've been talking to you guys for what, like an hour now? So anyway, I just, if you have health anxiety, I know, and I say the same thing always, and you're tired of hearing it. And I do have other episodes. If you're brand new here, I do have other episodes on health anxiety. I recommend starting with episode 11. And then I'll include them in the caption. And again, like in the episodes I label them, you'll see health anxiety in the title. But I recommend starting with episode 11, where I just share my story with you, and we really just focus on health anxiety in there. But I know, like, it's, I mean, how are you supposed to do anything, right? You're scared all the time, and you're obsessing, and you're worried. It's hard to, think about living your normal life and doing normal mundane activities when your brain is latched onto the thought that you're sick or that you're dying, and you can't not. It's like you feel like you need to believe it because you do have physical pain. You do have a swollen lymph node that you can't stop poking and prodding and feeling till like you feel like you're driving yourself to the brink of freaking insanity. And by the way, don't keep feeling that lymph node, because what's happening is you're causing irritation. I can do a whole separate episode on lymph nodes if you'd like, and if you struggle with that again, if you deal with a lot of congestion and mucus that can cause them to swell, if you deal with a lot of stress and anxiety in general, which is causing mucus, it can cause them to swell. Yoga and deep breathing can really help to kind of cleanse out your system and get your lymph moving. Once you get your lymph moving and out of your lymph nodes, they'll start to go down. But it's very common when you deal with anxiety and constant mucus or post-nasal drip that your lymph nodes can go up and down in size. I think what happens is we feel a swollen lymph node and it's immediate panic. Like that's health anxiety. It's not, again, I'm telling you, it's not logical. We're not like, okay, let me think about this. No. No, it's not. Like, I have never ever felt a lymph node and then thought, okay, let me be logical about this. Let me sit down. Okay, so it could be this, it could be this. No, I have health anxiety. It's immediate panic. It's immediate, what the F? Oh my God, I'm dying. That's basically how it goes. Health anxiety is real. It causes doubt. GAD is real. It causes real symptoms. If you have constant physical symptoms as well as health anxiety, your health anxiety is going to latch onto symptoms. That thing that you see is not a sign, it's frequency illusion. Our brains, this is what our brains do. If we are, for example, okay, if we are worrying about our heart and we start delving deep into research on heart symptoms, we Googling, what are the signs of a heart attack? What are the symptoms of POTS? What is a regular heart rate? You're just constantly Googling anything heart related, okay? Immediately, and this is normal, immediately your brain goes, they're looking up heart symptoms. They must be needing me to try to help them find more information on this. And suddenly your brain will hone in on anything heart related that you come across. It's like it blurs out everything else, and you will only really zone in on the heart-related pieces of content that come up, or the heart videos where someone's talking about POTS, or someone who died suddenly of heart failure, or what, like, this is what our brain does. It's trying to seek out more information on that thing that it sees you constantly looking up, because it's trying to help you. Your brain thinks that, well, you're Googling all this stuff, you obviously need me to help you find more information. So you're suddenly going to start seeing it everywhere. It's called frequency illusion. There's an actual name for it. But it doesn't mean it's a sign. This is pure logic. Like this is logical to your brain. This is what our brains do. So if you find yourself obsessing over one specific thing, even if you're just thinking about it all the time and then suddenly you start seeing it everywhere, keep in mind that this is normal. This is your brain doing what it does best. This is your brain being a normal brain. And it's not a sign, because your health anxiety or death anxiety, lovely death anxiety, let's throw that into the mix, is going to probably come in and say, oh my God, this is a sign. This is a bad omen. Blah, 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 blah. I've been there. I've been there. I can't even tell you how many times I've been there. And now when it happens, I say, I see what you're doing, but I know that this is my brain trying to help me. You talk to those thoughts directly. I see what you're doing. These are fear-based thoughts. You're trying to scare me. Then your brain isn't even trying to scare you. Again, it's like you have to keep in mind your brain is always trying to help you, like change the way that you think about it. I used to look at it as when I was dealing with panic attacks all the time. My brain is just against me the whole time. It's against me. It's against me. You can't move forward if you look at your anxiety as something that is against you, that hates you. You have to realize that your brain is always trying to protect you. In my case with panic attacks is I was dealing with constant symptoms. I had adrenal fatigue. My nervous system was shot. It was causing physical symptoms in my body that my brain was perceiving as danger. My brain was looking at these as signals that something was wrong, that I was in danger. And then it was, causing the fight or flight response to kick in, which then causes even more intense symptoms. It's a cycle. Again, like remember this, it's a cycle. And then suddenly we think our brain is against us, but our brain is literally trying to keep us safe. I hope that what I've rambled on about makes some sense for you. Even if one freaking sentence makes sense, I'm happy. I always, want you guys to, I always want you to walk away feeling like you've gotten something out of it. Even if, like I say always, even if it's just a distraction, even if me going on, waffling on, I don't think anybody says that here. I have a friend who lives in London, and our method of communication is voice notes. When I tell you that we leave each other voice notes, I am not messing around. We leave each other. I feel like I'm worse than her because when I start talking, I have issues. But we leave each other voice notes of like 20 minutes long. Like, I'm not even kidding. I swear to God, the other night I sent her voice notes that it probably would have taken her about 25 minutes to listen to. She's still responding to them now, like in portions. And I'm trying to be better at like just sending smaller chunks. But anyway, like, see, I'm totally getting off track here. But in the one voice note that she left me, she said, "Oh, sorry for waffling on." And that made me laugh because I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that here. Like, maybe it's just a normal thing here though, and I just haven't heard anyone say it. But I think it's more of a South African and British thing. I've never heard anyone say that. Like, that's something that I always say. I always say like I'm waffling on and on. And she said that, and it made me laugh because I was like, it feels like I'm home, even though she's in London and I'm from South Africa, but it's just something that I would always say at home, and it was just such a common thing to hear. So, anyway, I hope my waffling on has made some sense and you've taken something from it. Like I say, even if it's just a distraction, even if you just like your mind is full and you just need to hear me droning on, that's good enough for me. I still can't believe that we're in October. It's like so crazy. Like, it's almost Halloween. I love Halloween. I love creepy shit. Like, I love spooky and creepy and cozy. Like, creepy is cozy for me. I must have issues, but anyway, I love this time of year. Especially when I can actually start to feel it getting colder. I love this time of year. I would love to hear if you guys enjoy Halloween as well. There's a show that I've started watching on Disney called Only Murders in the Building. What is that guy's name? He's a comedian. Martin Short, I think that's his name. Steve Martin and Selena Gomez. They're like the three, they form like this little trio, and then they try to solve this murder in the building that they live in New York, and then they start a podcast together, and it's they just such a funny group, like, together, and it's just such a good show. I enjoy it so much. I think there's three seasons, and I'm on season two now, almost halfway, but it's such a good show. So if you're looking for something fall based or cozy, I highly recommend that one. I'm really enjoying it, and what I like about it is it's funny as well. Like, it's very it's cozy and it's like a mystery, but it's also funny and lighthearted. So if you're looking for that, if you're just looking for something to just lift your spirits, I recommend it. Do you guys do anything? Like, do you guys like dress up for Halloween or do anything. I feel like I do not, but I kind of want to. Yeah, like I remember we went for a walk. Was it last year Halloween or the Halloween before? Like just in the neighborhood. Like I like to just get out for walks whenever, right? I went with LJ, and in case you don't know, she's my roommate. She's like my best friend. She's like my family. And anyway, we like sometimes like we just thought we'd like go for like a Halloween walk, like in the neighborhood. And obviously like there were kids out trick-or-treating and stuff, but the neighborhood that I live in is really cozy, and like everybody was sitting on their porch, like ready with their candy for the kids and stuff, and like drinking their wine and whatever. And I mean, we weren't out there to go get candy or trick or treat. We like adults. We were just out for a walk, but everybody was so friendly, and they were like giving us chocolate and shit. And like I came home with a whole bunch of candy, so that was fun actually. I think it was like 2 years ago. I can't remember. But that was cool. I felt like a kid again, and yeah, that was just super random. But I really do like this time of year. I feel like I had something else to say. Oh, I'm actually going to, you guys are so used to seeing me, you know, just I feel like I'm like feel like you guys always see me at home. I'm very much a homebody, like especially since the pandemic, I became even more of a homebody. And obviously I work from home, so I'm here all the time, right? Like I'm here always working. So I don't know if you guys, if you've been with me for a while, you'll know, but I had told you guys that I feel like I tell you guys pretty much everything, like kind of. But I had told you guys about some family issues I was having, and I wasn't talking to my family. I'm not gonna get into that now, but I think I do have a podcast episode on it actually. But I haven't seen my family since I think December. Was it December 2019? Because I saw them a few months before the pandemic started. No? Yeah. I don't remember. I either saw them. I think I saw them December 2020? No, December 2019 or December 2020. I don't remember. But that was the last time that I saw them. And then, you know, there was some stuff that went on, and we didn't speak for a good while. And I am talking to them again. And I'm actually going to be visiting them probably this month or next month, but probably later this month. I literally think that my period is due on my birthday, which is so annoying. But I really like, I feel like I have to plan my whole life around my periods because I get them. I don't want to say I get them so bad. I mean, I get them pretty bad. It used to be worse, but I for the first 2 or 3 days, I'm just kind of bedridden and like can't do anything. So I kind of always have to plan everything around that. So anyway, I'm not really sure where I'm going with this, but I am actually going to be seeing them later this month, probably, and I haven't seen them for a while, so it's good. Like I'm glad. I'm glad. Like I think, you know, I've kind of reached a point in my own healing where I've had to really let go of a lot of things that I was holding on to, and I've had to really try to I've had to really see that they're doing the best that they can. And listen, this is if you have a, because I know some of you guys are in a position where you're not talking to your family because they're just really unhealthy for you, and it's something that you had to do for yourself. Okay, and I did that for years. And this is not me saying that you should open up communication if you're in a toxic cycle. Absolutely not. Like, we all have different situations. And I was angry for a long time. And that anger prevented me from even considering having any kind of relationship. And I feel like I've reached a point now where I'm not so angry anymore. I'm able to have more empathy, and that's not an easy thing, you know, to do. But I feel like I'm just at a point now where I am able to try to have some empathy, and I've had to realize that I can't change them, and they're doing the best that they can with what they know. And I can choose to accept that and have some kind of relationship, or have no relationship at all. And I think I've just decided that I want to have a relationship with my family. I haven't seen my brother in a long time either. And like, he's now moved to Texas, and he eloped actually. And so he's married. And I really want to make an effort to actually have a relationship with my brother, and because we were very close growing up, and have a relationship with my family. And as I'm talking to you guys, I'm thinking, oh my God, Tamron, are you oversharing? But you know, like every time I've spoken about things like this, there's always been at least a few of you that have let me know that you're in the same situation. And sometimes you guys obviously let me know that it helps to hear someone else talk about it, but sometimes you guys come and give me advice of your own as well. Like sometimes by me opening up about my situation, not only is it potentially helpful for somebody who's going through it, sometimes you guys come and give me advice that I really appreciate. So I'm not going to start closing up now about things. I obviously am private with a lot of things. But there's certain things that I think I want to talk to you guys about, and I want to tell you guys about. Like, so many of you have been here with me for years, and you know, like, you've been there with me every step of the way, and you've watched me grow, really, and seen me, like, go through things. We've been here together. We've been growing together. So I always try to be open about things when I can be. It's not easy always. Like, sometimes it's really uncomfortable to talk about stuff. I feel like I sit down with you guys and, like, have a therapy session with you. Like, it's like you're my therapist right now, but you know what I mean. Like, sometimes it's really hard to open up. This just randomly made me think about something that I saw before I even recorded this episode. I was on my phone right before I started recording this, and a video popped up about Ariana Grande. I really like her, but a video popped up where she's spoken out recently about a lot of insecurities that she's had, and she spoke openly about cosmetic surgeries that she's had, and this is so random, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I think I was talking about how hard it is to be open, and then it made me think about what I saw right before, because she was being so open about something that I feel like a lot of people aren't open about, like just insecurities. She was talking about how she felt like she really was hiding herself away and was afraid to show, like, you know, the real side. I don't even know what I'm saying at this point, but I think a lot of you guys, there's a lot of women here listening, and this can obviously relate to men as well. It's not gender based, but I know that a lot of us feel pressure with that. That's, I mean, you see, I get ideas as I'm recording, like I'm thinking out loud. Anxiety can also be, we can also experience a lot of anxiety around insecurities and feeling the need to be perfect and be what society wants us to be, and don't age because that's not cool. Like, if guys age and have gray hair and wrinkles and whatever, that's cool and they're distinguished, but if it happens to a woman, like, God forbid, we're old, we're like old hags. It's pressure, like, it's definitely pressure. And it was just refreshing to see, like, such a massive celebrity talking openly about it. And she was saying how she's really trying to be comfortable in her skin and embrace, like, just aging naturally. Because can you imagine being so, like, so much in the public eye and just having people constantly, like, giving their damn opinion about you and your freaking appearance, right? I mean, that must be, and then she suffers with anxiety, right? Like, she deals with anxiety. She has that song, is it called Breathing, I think, where the song is about, like, how she has to try to really breathe and calm herself through moments of panic. I'm sure I saw her talking somewhere about how, you know, that thing where you just, like, lose your breath and you can't, like, get a full breath. I'm sure I saw her talking about that somewhere. But yeah, like, I think we just see celebrities as, like, a whole different species. Like, they're humans, you know, they're human beings. I mean, we're all human. I think I used to do that too. Like, you look at celebrities as, like, you put them on a pedestal. I mean, we have celebrities following us, and I say us because it's our community. Like, I remember, like, the first time I noticed there was a celebrity following, I was like, oh my god, like, what? But I mean, then I really thought about it, and I was like, we all human beings at the end of the day, right? Like, we're all human beings. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how famous you are. We're all human beings at the end of the day. I remember, I think it was when, you know, my page was just starting to grow. Our page. I hate saying my page. Our page. It's our page, guys, okay? If a celebrity follows, they're following us because it's our community, and then they're becoming part of the community. But I remember, like, I think it was just during the pandemic when the page was growing, Kate Beckinsale, I'm sure you know who Kate Beckinsale is, she reshared one of my posts on her page. I think it was one about head symptoms and brain fog and stuff, and she was saying how she deals with that every day, and I was like, I remember just being so shocked, like, oh my god, a celebrity. And then you kind of think, oh my god, celebrities deal with anxiety too. But, like, the more time that I've had to think about it, and the longer that we've been here with our page, it's just shown me, like, I've really seen a lot, like, through the years. It's just shown me, like, we are all human. Like, it doesn't matter how famous you are or how much money you have, how many followers you have, anything. It does not matter. I mean, you know, celebrities that have suffered severely with depression. I think that it's just so important that we don't judge, and we don't assume that because somebody is so famous or somebody has so much or whatever that they're happy. Or the worst is when people judge and, like, why are you anxious if you have so much money? Or why are you anxious if you're so famous, or, you know, you're like, whatever the case, like, that drives me crazy. That drives me crazy. Anyway, I'm not even sure how we got into this topic now, but here we are. I enjoy chatting to you guys and just having like a real conversation. I feel like I would love to do a whole different episode just on insecurities, because I have lots of insecurities. I've suffered severely in the past with insecurities that impacted my relationships. And I feel like I could go really deep into that if I was willing to be brave. But it's definitely something that I'm going to think about. I always try to remind myself how me being open, could help even one person listening to this. Hopefully more. But if it helps one person, I'm happy. I'm sitting here and my brain is like trying to think about last minute stuff that we could talk about before I love and leave you. But I think that's it. I think that's everything for now. I will be back. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to write down ideas as I get them. But you guys, please, like, if there's something that you want me to talk about, let me know. Like, whether that's on Discord or you send me a DM. I really do try to at least see the DMs as much as I can. But I really do appreciate your feedback of things that we can talk about. But I do think that we could talk about insecurities. I think that a lot of us do have anxiety around it. I've done different topics on my page before, about like how trauma can contribute and like many different topics, even like anxiety and relationships and anxiety and intimacy. There's a lot of, more in-depth things we can get into and not just talk about the symptoms, but talk about the deeper root causes of where it could come from or how it could impact your relationships. How having insecurities can impact relationships. How important it is to have, that relationship with yourself first and be happy in your own skin. And guys, I could go on and on about this. Like, I can't even tell you the insecurities that I've had. I've had severe insecurities where, and if you don't like yourself and you don't feel comfortable in your skin, it definitely has an impact in your relationships or on the type of people that you attract. I can definitely talk more about that as well. I would definitely say that I'm in a better place now, than I was, but I feel like we're constantly growing and constantly working through things because healing is just a constant process for sure. And that is absolutely okay. Like obviously, the me of 34 is a completely different person than the me of like 20 or, 20 years ago. A completely different person. Like we grow as we get older. I'm sure 20 years from now, I'll be completely different as well. Even a year, like I feel like the past, I honestly feel like I've done some of my biggest growth strides in the past 2 years, in the past 3 years. I feel like we go through periods in our life where we just go through these little growth spurts. And when you go through them, it can feel really hard. They call them like dark nights of the soul, and everything feels like chaos and like it's falling apart. And that is honestly like how the past 3 years have felt. And knock on wood, like actually, I need to knock on wood. Or touch wood, like in South Africa, we say touch wood. But here they say knock on wood, so now I've just adopted that. But knock on wood that, as I say this, I feel like things have evened out for me over the past few weeks, the past couple months. I'm grateful for where I am right now, and I'm grateful for what I've learned, and I'm grateful for the people in my life. And even if there's things that I'm afraid of, and even if I feel like I still have lots of growing to do, I just continue to take it day by day, and I encourage you to do the same. Okay, I think I'm going to leave you guys there. I mean, this has been an hour and a half now, and I hope that I know you guys like the long episodes, so I hope you appreciate this 90-minute ramble. Maybe we'll aim for 2 hours next time, who knows? But it's just been really nice talking to you guys. And I could go on. Like, I feel like there's more. I bet you I'll end this off and I'll be like, oh, why didn't I talk about that? But then I'll do that in the next episode. Thank you for being here with me and listening to me and supporting me. I appreciate you guys more than I can say. I really do. Please make yourself a priority in your life, okay? Like, make yourself, I swear to God, like, you will not believe what happens and how things can change in your life when you make yourself a priority. Obviously, I don't mean this in like a, so, like, it's not selfish to make yourself a priority. Like, you can still care about people, but I think so many of us, we, a lot of us, definitely, we put others' needs before our own. And we focus on what other people need before we focus on ourselves. And that's still something that I do sometimes. But I, like I told you guys, like, awareness is everything. And I have that awareness now. So I really try to remind myself that I can have as much love for myself as for other people. And that by giving myself that love first, I'm better able to be there and support other people. And then last thing, a question for you. What did you love to do as a child? Please think about that and please do it again or do more of it if you already do it. If it's something that you just haven't even thought of in years or you want to but you just have completely neglected it, please give yourself a chance to try it again and just see what happens. Okay? Can you promise me that? I think as adults, life, we start to make life just becomes so damn serious, and we completely forget what it's like to just play and have fun. And I think we deserve to have fun, and we deserve to feel good. We really do. You do. I promise you, you do. Okay. So, what's something that you loved doing as a kid? It can be freaking anything. What was it? Like running around barefoot outside? Go to the park and take your shoes off. Just do it. It's called grounding. It's good for you. It has a heap of benefits. I give you permission to go do it. Singing, dancing, writing, playing video games, watching all, like some of you guys I know enjoy to watch movies that you loved as a kid because it just like takes you right back. And we constantly want to do things that help us tap into our inner child and really feed that part of ourselves, you know? So just something to think about, okay? Just something to think about. Do more of what you used to love as a kid and just see what happens.
Okay, fine. I won't leave yet. Yeah, I know I'm acting like a crazy person. I've got my comfort book. We used to do this a lot on oh, we got some ASMR action going on. We used to do this a lot. I used to do this a lot on my stories, and I know you guys enjoyed it, and then I just stopped doing it. So let's do it right now. I'm gonna open to a random page of my comfort book, and we're gonna see what we get. And I hope it's not too long, because some of these are so long. So this may seem a bit weird, but it's actually a week later now. I was just listening over the clips, and I realized that I deleted a whole clip, like right after where I was about to pick a page in my comfort book. So I had already picked a page and read it to you guys, and then I was expecting it to be here, but it's not here. So I have to do it again. But I actually remembered the page that I found, and I remembered it was page 147. So luckily, I still have the page that I had picked almost a week ago for you guys. Fortunately, it's very short and sweet, so I won't keep you much longer. It's called Clarity, and it just says, "You are here, and that is enough." And I thought that was just a really nice way to end it. And I really hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I hope that your week is treating you well so far, and that you're able to take some time tonight and this weekend to just do something nice for yourself and to just take some time just for you, okay? Thank you for always listening to me, and thank you for being here with me. I appreciate all of you more than I can say. And I hope you have a beautiful weekend. I hope you have a beautiful morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you're listening to this. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Okay?